Continue in worship, we will turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12. We are less than a week, we're just a few days from when Jesus will be arrested and crucified. We have a long passage this morning, but I'm just going to tell you most of it. We'll read a little bit and then walk through it. Jesus' opponents are around him, and they are trying to trap him. They ask him, should we pay taxes to Caesar? They're right in the temple vicinity in Jerusalem. And they ask Jesus, should we pay taxes to Caesar? And if Jesus says yes, they'll say, oh, you're a friend of Rome, you're a friend of Caesar's. If he says no, then they'll say, oh, you're inciting rebellion. What does Jesus say? He says, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, the things that have Caesar's image on them, and render unto God the things that are God's. What's in God's image? Well, man in particular, that we are created in God's image. Render unto God the things that have God's image on them. Good job there. And then one of the Sadducees comes up with a riddle. To try to trip up Christ. The Sadducees say that there is no resurrection. They've memorized the books of Moses. They are religious elite, very devout Jews, but they say there's no heaven, there's no resurrection, there are no angels, there's no soul or spirit. They are effectively materialists, right? So they come to Jesus with a riddle. They say, Jesus, according to the Old Testament, the book of Deuteronomy, Moses said that if a man dies, that his widow should marry that man's brother so that she can have a child raised up in her dead husband's name, that his name will not be forgotten. And the Sadducees said, okay, a man died, and then his brother married his widow, and then the brother died. And then another brother married the widow. So on until you had seven brothers who died, one widow. In the resurrection, whose wife will she be? And the implication is, therefore, there can be no resurrection. It's a very silly riddle. It's equivalent to, like when someone says, if God is so powerful, can he create a stone that's so big God can't lift it? It's that silly. And then, here is Jesus' response. This is what we will read. If y'all can stand up, we'll read this together. Jesus' response to the Sadducees and their riddle. Mark chapter 12 and verse 13. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead. This is what we're reading. Verse 24. Jesus said to them, is this not the reason you are wrong? Because you know neither the scriptures nor the power of God. For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven. And as for the dead being raised, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the passage about the bush, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but of the living. You are quite wrong. Father in heaven, thank you that we can be here singing songs together, Lord, songs of praise and worship. For you are an awesome and wonderful God. You have blessed us richly. We pray, Lord, you'd bless us now. You'd give us understanding. We want your word to transform our hearts tomorrow. Lord, we want to know how to walk a little more closely with you, how to honor you through our work, through all that we do. Lord, give us understanding of your word. Revive us with your spirit. We pray in Jesus' name, for his glory. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. The Jews hate paying taxes to Rome. They will pay other taxes, but they hate having to pay taxes to Rome. They don't want Rome's control. They don't want Rome having anything to do with them. They don't like the Roman soldiers being around. They hate it, so they come and challenge Jesus. They want to try to trip him up on his patriotism. Do you guys ever get upset with someone over you? You think it's just not fair. It's just not just. Anybody here get upset about the taxes we pay? Your parents pay taxes. Every time you buy a chili dog, you pay taxes. Let's see. Right now, there's a lot of arguing that say wealthy people should pay more taxes than we do because they have so much money, right? There's a lot of fighting in our country about that right now. Biden says, yes, the billionaires should pay more. How many of us in the past year during the pandemic, how many of us saw our incomes increase? George saw his income increase. This church takes very good care of us. They bless us so richly. We thank God. But how many of you, your boss came and said, we like you. We're going to give you a 60% raise. That'd be kind of nice, wouldn't it? You know, that in the past year, from March 2020 to July 2021, the billionaires in America saw their income increase by 60%. Everyone else is suffering, having hardship. The billionaires went up. The top five billionaires, you know, in our country, 50% of the people have 2% of the wealth. 2%. One half of our country has 1/50th of the wealth. The top 10% has 70%. And we just, it just seems unfair. So many people are like, this is not right. It's unfair. Anyway, the past year, Mia? They don't work more. They're smart. They work hard. But they don't work any more than the guys flipping patties at McDonald's or the trash men that pick up our garbage or the teachers that teach you guys. Everybody works hard, right? Daniel, do you work hard? Linda, do you work hard? Linda works very hard. She did not get a 60% raise last year. The top five guys, we're talking Ellison, Gates, Zuckerberg, Bezos, and who's the car guy? Musk. They saw their income more than double over the pandemic, more than double. Be like your boss come and say, I like you, I'm just going to double your income. People get angry, they're upset, it makes us mad. How about, do you get mad about racism? Does that make you guys mad? George Floyd, we've had some high-profile cases. Does that make you guys angry? How about college students? For Asians, there is a quota. It is harder for you to get in the colleges you want, such as UT, than it is for white guys. There's a quota against you. Reverse affirmative action. Does that make you angry? Maybe. There's a student at Woodlands High School. Teacher said to her, I'm racist. You can't do anything about it. Yeah, what? Just want to slap the guy, right? Melissa said on Friday, she's organized Bible studies at Woodlands and College Park. And Magnolia, she was at the one on Friday, said a couple of the girls were just so upset at their teachers. It's so unfair. It's unjust. One of them had turned in an assignment before Thanksgiving, and the teacher didn't get it. And she said, no, I've got the receipt. Look, I got the receipt from the internet. I did it. And the teacher said, I'm sorry, it's too late. Your grade stands at a 66. She had never made less than an A before, ever. Another girl right next to her said, oh, I was correcting my test, and I had every question correct. I got it all right, but the Scantron was off by one. And the teacher said, I don't hand grade. Your grade stands at a 62. She'd also been a straight-A student. Gets so angry. We are always going to face unfairness. We're always going to see injustice, and we get so angry. Anybody angry at the government for telling us when we have to wear masks and when we have to get vaccinated? Or the government says, we're going to raise your taxes and give it to the NEA. We know how to fix the climate crisis. We're going to raise your taxes. People get so upset, so angry. The Jews here are angry. What do we do? It's going to happen our entire lives. It happens all over the world. I got a former student who texts me regularly, I mean in China, and about once a month he loses it. And he goes on a rant about injustice and inequality and unfairness, and it's full of expletives. He's so angry. It happens all the time. We can go on and on, Ezra. Just close your eyes. But Ezra, as a high schooler, you have the privilege, the luxury of being able to do that. But you get into the workforce, what your teachers are sometimes on. It's going to happen all our lives. How do we get some rest? How do we rest in the midst of this, in this facing injustice? That's what I want to ask, looking at the scripture. The Jews are beside themselves with hatred for Rome. And the first thing, hopefully y'all have an outline with you, because I'm not doing it on PowerPoint. First thing is, very simple, we have to trust God with injustice. We have to trust Him with injustice. Turn the other cheek. Jesus says, vengeance is mine. I will repay. I'm going to leave it with God. That means I'm trusting Him. In the short run, Caesar might deprive me of some wealth. He might deprive me of some freedom. I'm going to trust God. I'm looking forward to my heavenly rest. I'm looking forward to justice in heaven. If I trust God that way, then I will be able to fight the good fight here, okay? If I trust God to work out justice in eternity, and He says, vengeance is mine, if I do that, then this time here on earth, I will be able to fight for justice. I'll be able to render under Caesar the things that are Caesar and give my life to God. Jesus, you know, He talks to these Sadducees. He says, no, there is a resurrection. You don't understand the power of God. You need to be looking to heaven, not to the kingdom on this earth, right? If I trust God, if I do not expect victory in this life, if I don't expect to have justice in this life, then I will be able to fight the good fight. I'll be able to fight for justice the way Martin Luther King did, the way John Perkins did, the way William Wilberforce did. Did y'all see the movie Amazing Grace? He led the fight for the abolition of slavery in England. Those guys, they all were looking forward to their heavenly reward. That's why they were able to fight the good fight here. That's why they were able to fight for justice here, right? Fighting the Caesars and the Herods of this world. Melissa and I just watched a really good TV series about the opioid epidemic. You guys familiar with the opioid epidemic? Drugs, prescription drugs people get addicted to. The movie's about how a pharmaceutical company deliberately deceived doctors and patients about how addictive OxyContin is, this drug, OxyContin. Just flat out lied to people, said, no, it's not addictive. Hundreds of thousands of people, I don't know how many, became addicted. I mean, it ruined so many lives. And so these two U.S. attorneys are after this pharmaceutical company for several years, and finally they find some good hard evidence against them. And the lawyer, one of the lawyers for the pharmaceutical company, comes to the executives and says, we have a problem. One of these attorneys, when he was 40 years old, he became a Christian. The executives just stare at him blankly. And the lawyer leans in. They cannot be bought. They really believe in justice. So many other guys, the pharmaceutical companies, was able to pay them off, to bribe them, you know, say, we'll give you a job. You'll double your salary if you come work for us. There's another point in the show when they are trying to buy off some people who are protesting. And in this group they're trying to buy off is a nun. And all of the people say, we could really use the money they're offering us $100,000. We could help a lot of people. And then the nun says, I would rather die than be bought off by these guys. They can fight the good fight of faith. They can fight for justice in this life because they do not depend on victory. They're looking for victory in heaven. If I trust God. On the other hand, if I don't trust God, if I am expecting, I'm not looking to heaven for victory, for justice. I'm looking for it here and now, the way the Jews were. We need it now. We're so angry. We want justice now. Inevitably, we will compromise with Herod. We'll compromise with Caesar. Well, see, I have to have victory. I have to have victory now. I'm not waiting for God. I'm not going to trust, vengeance is mine, I will repay. No, I want it here and now. We will compromise. That's what happened with these guys. They had memorized the books of Moses. They were faithful, faithful as they could possibly be in obedience to the laws. But they said, but we need victory here and now. Jesus said, you are sons of the devil. These very religious guys, you are sons of the devil. Anybody dress up as a Sadducee for Halloween? Pharisee? Sons of Satan. Disguises himself as an angel of light. So, I trust God, then I can fight, then I can lay down my life because it doesn't matter whether I win or lose. I'm seeking God's glory and I'm trusting Him. It doesn't matter whether I win or lose. Get back to my notes here. Yeah, if we put our hope in earthly government, if I need victory now, I'm going to compromise. Listen. You guys listening? The New Testament doesn't really have any teaching or example about fighting for social justice. It has a lot to say about every single person being made in the image of God, no matter how far they have fallen, no matter how vile they are, how deep into sin they've fallen. They are in the image of God. They're precious. God's will is for all to be saved. The Bible has a lot to say about that, but it has nothing to say about, for example, ending slavery. Paul said, slaves, obey your masters. Jesus said nothing about slavery. The Bible has a lot to say about helping the poor, about being generous, about helping the needy, but it has nothing to say about trying to end poverty. Jesus said, the poor you will have with you always. It has a lot to say about tyranny and the evils of Caesar and Herod and the Pharaoh. And Paul says, submit to the governing authorities. Let every person be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except from God and those that have existed. Those that exist have been instituted by God. Paul wrote that when he was constantly being hounded. He was about to be arrested. There had already been a great persecution. Paul said, submit. If I trust God, I'll be able to fight because it doesn't matter whether I win or lose. If I don't trust God, I've got to win. I will compromise. And I could become a son of Satan. The second thing, what does trust look like? If I'm trusting God, then I am, as Paul says, I'm obeying my authorities. It's better to obey them than to have anarchy. God's actually put them there. Joseph served Pharaoh. Moses, for a while, served Pharaoh. Daniel served Nebuchadnezzar. He killed so many Jews. Queen Esther served Ahasuerus. They served all these very bad guys, unethical guys. We don't disobey the Ten Commandments. I'm not going to bow down and worship your idols. I'm not going to go kill someone. But to the extent I can, I will submit to your authority. Let me tell you something else. What trust looks like, you have to pray. You have to bring your anger before God. I say, God, this is so unfair. The Psalms are full of prayers saying, God, when are you going to smash their teeth? When are you going to break their arms? How long, oh God? How long will it be till you bring justice? Samuel, you have a goal to bench 200 pounds, right? Eventually, 200 pounds. Someone might have a goal. I'm going to run a marathon. Let me suggest a good goal for prayer. Why don't you memorize Psalm 73? Be a good goal. I'm serious. I'm just going to set this goal. It teaches you how to bring your anger before God. This person is crying out, God, they're getting fat, and their lives are easy, and I'm getting beat up every day, and it's so unfair. And he says, I was like a beast before you, God. But you've taken hold of my right hand. Afterwards, you lead me to glory. A good thing to do, to learn to pray to God. And then we go out and we testify. You can still protest. You go to your teacher or your boss and say, hey, this isn't fair. And David, if your teacher says, yeah, your grade stands, you get a 62, then you submit. But you can still look your teacher in the eye. Say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm serious. One of my bosses one time, I just told him, I said, please stop taking the Lord's name in vain. Please. Just stop doing that. I don't talk about your close relatives, your mother that way. Please stop. Just stop. And he actually did. Actually, I was showing him respect. I was showing him respect that if he recognized this is important to me, it increased our relationship. Okay, first thing, are you all with me? Trust God with injustice. Second, trust God for my heavenly reward. Trust God for my reward. I'm not expecting to get my reward in this life. If I expect to get my reward in this life, if I'm going to establish great achievements here, if that's my goal, again, I will compromise with Herod. I will compromise with Caesar. I will do whatever it takes. I'll build up my own little kingdom, right? The scribes here had put everything. They wanted their reward now. They wanted their great authority. They wanted their great education. They wanted their wealth. I want it now, in this life. And so they compromised. But if I'm looking to heaven for my reward, if I'm looking to heaven, then I will be able to love God. Jesus, right in the middle of this, he says, He told the guys, he made it clear to them, you don't understand the Bible at all, do you? You don't understand it here, you don't understand it here, you don't understand. And then he told them, the greatest commandment, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your strength, with all your might, with all your soul, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You do that. That's your goal. That's your purpose. Don't make it your goal to be the smartest, the most accomplished. If I set my heart on getting my reward in heaven, God will be able to use me. I might not amount to much here. Jesus points to the widow, right? He goes to the temple courts where they're putting money in. Where are we? Went backward. He points to this widow who puts in 2 denarii, equal to 1 cent. Puts in 1 cent, and he says, she put in more than all the others. These other guys were making a show. They would go out into their gardens, and they'd see how much mint and dill they had, and they would tithe 10% of that. Right? They were fastidious in tithing. They put in a lot. She put in 1 cent. And he said, she put in more than all the rest. Are y'all with me? At our home, we had a freezer in the garage. And just because we had two boys, we never seemed to have enough meat, right? Twice the freezer broke down on us. And, you know, some of the stuff melted. We lose stuff. So we said, we got to get rid of this thing. Throw it away. So we emptied the freezer, and I took it. There's a recycle place there on 45 just south of Popeye's Chicken. And I took it there. And they took my freezer out. They put it on a great big scale and gave me $5.25 for it. The guy was very just like happy, right? He said, here you go. Here's your money, $5.25. They were buying the steel that's in the freezer. They'll take it somewhere and chop it up and melt it down. $5 worth of steel. If you have $5 worth of steel and you turn it into sewing needles, how much do you think that's worth? Suddenly it's worth $350. $5 worth of steel, if you turn it into knife blades, whoa. Suddenly $5 worth of steel is worth $32,000. Yeah. $5 worth of steel, if you turn it into the springs that go inside watches, y'all know what a watch is? People used to, right? And you actually used to wind them. They had springs in it. If you turn $5 worth of steel into the springs for watches, $250,000. God could use this widow's penny more than he could use these other guys. They were dead weight. They were useless to him. She could not be bought. She's living in poverty, but she says, hey, I'm looking to heaven. I got one penny. I'm giving it to God. She could not be bought by Satan. If we're all going to experience injustice, we're all going to experience unfairness. Everybody does. It's just life is unfair, right? If I am looking to heaven for my reward, then as I go through trials, God will be able to mold me. God will be able to you know, like the trial is like the heat of a furnace, right? Chinese proverb, true gold fears no fire. As I go through trials, God will be able to mold me and make me and use me greatly. Even if I've only got $5 worth of steel. But if I don't look to heaven, if I'm not praying to God, if I'm not bringing my heart to God, I'm not crying out, God, this is so unfair. I'm looking forward to glory. And when are you going to break their legs? If we pray that in private, then in public we can have peace. We can be relaxed. I can focus. I can fight the good fight of faith. If I don't look to heaven for my reward, then when I go through trials, I'm going to put up defenses. I'm going to take care of myself. These guys who are tithing 10% very faithfully, putting in a lot of wealth, they had not given to God what belonged to God. They're created in His image. They had not given their hearts to God, their mind, their strength, their soul. They had not given that to God. So when they went through trials, they put up defenses. They say, we hate Caesar. We hate Rome. We're going to fight against them. And what happens? About 40 years after this, some of the Jews just said, we're sick of it. They raised up a rebellion against Rome. Rome came and destroyed them. Jesus said it would happen. 70 AD, the temple, that Jesus' disciples pointed at the temple, said, look how beautiful this is. Look at these beautiful stones. Jesus said, not one stone is going to be left on another. It's going to be destroyed. These guys were looking for justice in this life. They're looking for the reward in this life. That meant they would compromise, and then they would kill Jesus, and then everything would be destroyed because they wanted it here and now. The greatest soldier, the greatest American soldier, was born in, fought in World War II. Y'all know who I'm talking about? I'm sorry, World War I. Fought in World War I. And the thing about this soldier, he was definitely not the fastest. He wasn't the strongest. He wasn't the smartest. In fact, everything about him was what an elite soldier, what you didn't want. He was kind of weak. He wasn't terribly smart. He was a bit sickly. But he had one thing going for him. He loved justice, and he loved his fellow soldiers. He was zealous to fight the good fight. And the real revealing point came when an activated grenade landed in their midst. The other soldiers, strongest, the fastest, they break and ran. This guy threw himself on the grenade to shield the others. That's why we can call him Captain America, right? He had that special something. Christian, what God has put in you is the ability to lay down your life, because I'm looking to heaven for my reward. My goal is not to be the fastest, the strongest, the smartest. My goal is to honor God. And in honoring Him, proclaiming His glory, I'm going to fight for justice. I'll put myself in harm's way. I'll fight the Nazis. I'll fight the terrorists. I'll throw myself on a grenade if I have to, because I'm looking for my heavenly reward. It doesn't matter. I can sum up today's message with one statement. It doesn't matter whether we win or lose. We can still fight the good fight of faith. It doesn't matter whether we're very successful or wealthy or not. We can still fight the good fight of faith. We can still give God. I got a penny. I got $5 worth of steel. We can give that to God, and He can be glorified. And then your life will be a musical. Amen? Can I tell y'all one more story? I just want to tell one more story, okay? You like that, John? Thank you. It's appropriate. It's a little bit later than the fact. There was, back in, what year was it? In 1608, English trading ships came along the northeastern coast. They picked up a young Indian boy, just basically kidnapped him, made him a slave, took him back. He was sold in Spain, sold to some monks. Some monks bought him. He had become a Christian. The monks bought him, managed to get him back to England. They wanted to help him get back home. He went back to England, worked for a family. The family's name wasn't, it was in, they bought him in Malaga, Spain. He worked as a stable hand. The family's name was Slaney. His plan was to get to the next ship back to America so he could find his family again. He finally got a job on a ship as a translator. Finally got back to America, and when he came to his village, everyone was dead. His family, everyone, they'd been wiped out by smallpox. And he went in the woods and just lived alone. A year later, a group of the pilgrims came. They are interested in worshiping God. They're actually, we call them separatists at the time. They want to get away from being told exactly how they have to worship. Oh boy, talk about getting angry. We got some politicians who want to tell us what our doctrine should be. You have to have this doctrine. My blood pressure's already going up. Some of these politicians, Ito O'Rourke, sorry. Where was I? They came to America, they wanted to worship. Half of them died during that first winter. They faced incredible hardship. just unspeakable brutality. They were crying out to God. God was molding them. He was making them. And then what happens? This Indian named Squanto walks out of the woods speaking perfect English. And he taught them how to find the lobsters, how to find the eels. He taught them how to survive off the land. And one day they had a feast. We commemorate it. It's called Thanksgiving. They both, Squanto and these pilgrims, went through tremendous trials, and in the midst of the heat, God molded them, made them, and they gave him glory. Their life was a musical. It didn't matter whether they win or lose. They're looking to heaven. Let me pray for us. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. Thank you. You make it clear. You desire us to be strong in your spirit. Lord, thank you that we have this opportunity here and now to suffer with you. We have this opportunity to fight the good fight of faith, to walk with you on the narrow way. Lord, we're looking forward to heaven. I pray that none of us would get there and say, wait, I want to go back and praise God more. I want to go back and suffer some more. Oh, Lord, we want to take the opportunity here and now to fight the good fight of faith, to be useful in your hands, to go through the trials, to experience, as we experience unfairness and injustice, as we experience that, we would say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I pray, Lord, for each and every one of us, you would show us where we can bless others, where we can serve, where we can bring some words of comfort to those who are hurting, where we can simply serve people because we love you and we want to love our neighbor. Show each one of us, Lord, because we want to see you glorified. I pray we would be wise, Lord, to pray. We would be wise to bring our anger before you, each and every one of us, that we would get on our knees and pray about the injustice and the unfairness that we experience, and that we would say, we're going to trust you. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And because I have prayed to God, because I've prayed to my Heavenly Father, I've poured out my heart before him, I can walk through these trials and have peace. I can fight the good fight. Lord, make us in your image. Revive us in your spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, we're going to go through a time.